We don't talk much about the Holy Spirit. He's one of those figures, divine figures, that we kind of take for granted. We know he's always there, but we can't see him. We don't know much about him at all. The scriptures don't give you a whole lot, except what happens as a result of his presence. And so after Jesus ascended into heaven, he told them, before he ascended, he said to his apostles, his disciples, he said, your job now is to go into the whole world and you tell everybody about this kingdom of heaven and show them how to live it. Well, all of a sudden, here are these men that have been following Jesus for a few years, and they probably felt pretty comfortable going out talking when he was somewhere around. But now all of a sudden, he's disappearing. And he says them, the final commission he gives them, go into the whole world, and I'll be with you always. So you can imagine the confusion when they're standing there looking up at the sky. This when the angel appeared to them and said, what are you standing here looking at? He's gone. Get about your mission. So the first thing they did, probably somewhat because they were scared and unsure and uncertain about all of this stuff, they saw what had happened to Jesus, how he suffered and died, even though people loved to see the great signs that he worked. And so they got together, as I guess they frequently did when Jesus was still with them. And they prayed. And they prayed for several days together. And then remember the story from the scriptures, how all of a sudden there was a strong wind around the building that they were praying in. And people started gathering around this building to see what this strange noise was. And then all of a sudden, this ball of fire appears in the room where they are and separates over the heads of each one of them. And all of a sudden, these scared disciples, unsure of how they were to proclaim this word of God, preach about the kingdom of God, found the courage to go out. And they went out and they proclaimed the kingdom of God and how necessary it was to believe in what Jesus taught. All of a sudden, people from all different parts of the world were out there. And very, very strangely, each one heard what they were saying in their own language. That doesn't happen. Maybe at the UN, where they have one of these instant translators that translates for everybody according to the language of their country. But that had never happened before. And many were baptized that day, and they found the courage to continue with that. That is the work of the Spirit of God. That's the Spirit of God that we receive in the sacrament of confirmation. It's a Spirit who can totally transform us, totally change us, totally empower us, if we're willing to listen. But it's always that willingness to really grab hold. Am I interested enough in what I profess to believe to follow through? I think of a story. He had his eye on this beautiful sports model car. It was a beautiful car. And so somehow or another, either his parents or a good friend was able to purchase that and give it to him as a gift. And so he's so proud of this car. The first thing he wants to do is hug everybody that had anything to do with it. And then he wanted to go show it to all of his friends. So he gets inside the car, touches the button, or turned the key, whatever they had in that thing, and nothing happened. And he gets out of the car, he's very confused. He's looking at the key. He checks the battery. He's doing everything and wondering why this beautiful new sports car doesn't move. And so finally he gets out of the car. There is no engine. There's nothing to power this thing. You know, and unfortunately in the Christian life, we become much like that. There is nothing to power us if we don't pay attention to the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the engine that makes us run. It's the engine that gave the apostles whatever they needed to get out of that building and go proclaim the gospel of Christ. And it's going to take that same kind of spirit to move us. I think sometimes in our world that we don't like to think about things like way out there. Well, we're not talking about a ghost. We're talking about one of the persons of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. We call him the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. But he's one of the persons in the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They are all together God, and each one is God. Each one is kind of attributed certain aspects that they take care of. When we think of creation, we think of the Father, that he's the one who made everything out of nothing. He's the one who had the power to do that. Well, they all had the power to do that. There is only one God. This is that mystery that we can't quite figure out. And we won't figure it out until we see God face to face. But that's kind of what we attribute to the Father. He's the one who just made it, let it be, and it was. We think of Jesus as the one who came to this world to reveal the Father to us and to reveal to us how much the Father loves us, that he would send his own Son to us to teach us this way of life that he hoped we would follow. And this way of life is a way that is kind of dedicated, as the Beatitudes remind us today, of being kind and merciful, forgiving, recognizing that without our God, we are nothing. We don't exist without our God. And if somehow or another we're able to build up within ourselves this idea of how important we really are, so important sometimes that God is an afterthought. And the Spirit of God, it's the end of our religious education. We'll get that over with and then we're done. That isn't the way it works. Jesus came into this world to teach us that way of life that the Father had laid out. It cost him a lot. It cost him a whole lot. He was rejected by his own people. People that should have embraced him because they were waiting for him for centuries and centuries and centuries. But they didn't like what he had to say, so they rejected him. But for those who did follow him, they had to witness what he had to go through to bring us forgiveness and peace in our own lives and in the lives of other people. He suffered and died, but then he rose. He rose again to life, a glorified life, and invites every one of us to be a part of that. And when he left this world, he turned that all over to us and said, "It's your job. Take this message to all the world." He said, "But wait until I send my Spirit. And when the Spirit comes upon you, he will direct and guide you and encourage you and strengthen you, give you the wisdom, the organization, whatever you need, he will give that to you and proclaim the message." So they waited and they prayed, but they were open. They were open to whatever Christ was willing to tell them. And when he said he's going to send his Spirit, they believed him and they waited. And when that Spirit came and fired that engine that he made possible, they went out and began the mission. So I think all of us need to kind of reflect. In our own confirmation, probably most of us, we just kind of, it's another one, another sacrament we receive. Okay, we got that one down. Check it off. We're done with that. No, it isn't quite the way it works. Baptism invites us into this family of God. Confirmation assures us that the Spirit of God dwells with us. But we have to make him welcome. I mean, it's not one of these things that's going to be automatic. We have this little wand, this wonderful things happen. That isn't the way it works. The Spirit of God comes to us to dwell within us, to motivate us, to teach us, to love us, to guide us, to empower us, to give us courage, whatever we need, He will do that. That's what the Spirit does. It gives us life. It moves us. Unlike that car that has no engine, the Spirit of God is supposed to dwell in us and move us to be what Christ called us to be. So when we think about this confirmation, it's not just another sacrament. We check it off. The Spirit of God comes to dwell in you. You have to make Him welcome. You have to be open. It's like when you take that book that Sister Pat's going to give to you, that Bible. If you pray to the Spirit of God before you open it, every time you open it, and hopefully that is often, you will prepare your mind and your heart to receive the Word of God as it is given to us. That Spirit will make sure that you get a better grip, a better understanding. It's a lot different than simply opening a book and reading like a history book or a novel or something of that nature. It is the Word of God. We don't always recognize that. We don't always understand it. And we can't really always understand it unless the Spirit inspires us. The Spirit is always willing to work with us, but we have to be willing to work with the Spirit. So today, the confirmation candidates will make a couple pledges, and the community will make some pledges to them. But it's a reminder to all of us, we have received that Spirit. Does it make any difference to us? Has it changed anything for us? And He still dwells there. He doesn't go away. But He has to be welcome, which means that we're open. And the way we make Him welcome is we pray. We talk about prayer, how awfully important it is for all of us, for not just to get what we want, but to be what God wants us to be. And that's the way we communicate with the Spirit. We pray. So candidates, I ask that you kind of keep some of these things in mind as you continue your preparation. It is a sacrament of tremendous importance. It's the life, your spiritual life. It is the engine that makes it go. It's the life of our church that makes us go. Maybe sometimes it stumbles and we trip and maybe stall out a few times, but the engine never dies as long as we're willing to work with it. And that's what the Spirit does when He comes to us in these sacraments.